Folks, welcome back to Dub After. This is Chris once again. Hey, folks, welcome back to Chris Wine Africa here on the Daba Broadcasting Network. It's the 5th of May, 2021. Time for Indaba Africa News of the Day. The headlines: breaking news out of South Africa, where the ruling African National Congress has finally suspended the ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule over corruption charges in his indictment on a 251 million rand tender for an asbestos contract when he was premier of the Free State several years ago. So he has been suspended from the ANC. A number of activities taking place related to that. More on that story shortly. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and South Africa's Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor met in London to discuss international topics of interest as well as regional issues in Southern Africa and throughout Africa. Student protests in South Africa over the past several years have cost universities at least 1 billion rand in damages. Leon Prinsloo, the heroic, calm, and collected security driver for that cash-in-transit heist attempt that took place in Hatfield in Pretoria recently, has received death threats. One of the reasons why he didn't want the video released, of course, Youssef Abrenji released the video, and now Leo has death threats against him. Perhaps he should send the bill to Youssef Abrenji for releasing that video. Pretoria has earmarked 819 million rand to rescue Mango. Mango, the subsidiary of South African Airways, the bankrupt airline, which claims now to be solvent after receiving another $1.3 billion worth of assistance from the state and come out of bankruptcy on May 1st. Its subsidiary, Mango, the low-cost airline, couldn't fly a week ago because they couldn't pay airport fees to the airports company in South Africa. Now it's exposed that the government of South Africa needs to give another $819 million. In order for them to survive. The mother city of Cape Town should be experiencing at this very moment heavy rains and gale force winds from a massive storm that is coming to the Western Cape as we speak. Facebook's committee decides to continue to keep Donald Trump suspended from Facebook. And in other news, Donald Trump launches a social media site for Donald Trump. Restaurants across the United States are competing with government welfare for workers. Workers receiving paychecks through 30 September. Rather than work, restaurants are strapped for employees as they sit at home and collect free money from those of us paying taxes. The United Nations is unhappy with Aussie Prime Minister Morrison over his effort to ban Australian citizens from returning to Australia after the outbreak of the pandemic and expansion of it in India. He famously decided he would fine Australian citizens $66,000 or $50,000 if they deign to come back to their home country. This defies all logic, all law, all reason, all common sense, and science for that matter. So the United Nations is taking issue with the Australian Prime Minister. They're not the only ones. In Myanmar, the military junta has now banned satellite television. After arresting a Japanese journalist last month and indicting him yesterday for fake news, they have now banned satellite television. And those are the headlines, folks, in an abbreviated news report today. Let's talk about the actual events taking place in Africa and around the world that are on our table today. Right, so first off, right out of the bat here, Ace Magashule, the Secretary General of the African National Congress, has been suspended by the party. Absolutely. And it says lots in this two-page letter. There's 18 more pages to it, 20 pages total. But the following he is not allowed to do. During the period that he's under temporary suspension, he may not carry out the duties and responsibilities of his office as Secretary General. He may not represent the organization publicly or in any other form. He may not make public pronouncements on matters related to the organization. And he may not engage in the mobilization of ANC structures, any other organizations or individuals, including on his own stepping aside in matters related thereto. Wow, folks, absolutely shocking that the ANC finally went after Ace Magashule. Here's the letter itself from the ANC. As I said, it's 20 pages in length. The first two pages of the actual letter, and there's the restrictions right there. The things that Ace can't do. Signed by Jesse Duterte on the 3rd of May, 2021. But publicly announced on the 5th of May, these restrictions have been in place and sanctions since then. And here you go. These are the guidelines, in case Ace was unfamiliar with the rules, which I'm sure he probably was, since he didn't know how to obey them. The African National Congress suspending Ace Magashule is the first opening salvo from sitting President Cyril Ramaphosa in his effort to gain control of the party he clearly lost control of, if he ever had control of it, from the moment he ascended to the ranks as ANC president and then president of South Africa. Things will get rather dicey between now and October 27th when municipal elections take place in South Africa as the ANC seeks to hoodwink South Africans into voting for it yet again, despite its pervasive corruption, its massive racist policies, and its utter disdain for all South Africans, white, black, and brown. It only cares about cadres. That's the only color the ANC cares about. Black, green, and gold. ANC cadres. As I mentioned, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, met with the South African Foreign Minister, Naledi Pandor, a talk about several issues. And this press release came out today from the Department of State. They talked about climate ambition, regional security issues such as Mozambique, and they talked about the importance of multilateral organizations addressing humanitarian human rights crisis and Ethiopia's Tigray region. And they also talked about South Africa and the U.S. strategic dialogue. That's a program that's been in place since the Clinton administration. After South Africa got its independence, we established a strategic dialogue with South Africa. It's been taking place ever since then. Yeah, how about a discussion of South Africa no longer being eligible for the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act? South Africa's abrogation of property rights with the expropriation without compensation legislation proposal indicates that South Africa has no interest in property rights. You must respect and abide and protect property rights in order to be qualified for a GOA. So therefore, you're no longer offered. You should be taken out. While you're talking about, they're also talking about the pandemic and the slow vaccine rollout. Why was there no discussion of the inability of Aspen Pharmacare, a massive generic drug manufacturer in South Africa, to produce the vaccine? Where are they at on this? India and China have already been producing under license the medications for 6 months, and South Africa is still sitting on its bum. Good question, I think, for these folks. As I mentioned, $819 million more for cash-strapped mango. The government has earmarked that to recapitalize it. Was revealed in Parliament yesterday. Look at that. They keep things opaque until they have to reveal it. We finally know what's happening with that. 819 million additional rand out of your pocket for an inept airline with barely any aircraft and barely any crew. And not flying anyone anywhere, apparently, because they couldn't even get in the air last week. Vandalism over the past several years has been causing chaos at South Africa's universities with destruction of schools, classrooms, of buildings, facilities, dormitories, and it's just out of control and has been for some time as the authorities refuse to simply incarcerate these criminals and expel them from these universities. They have no business being in them. They're looting and burning them. 1 billion rand. Protest over lack of funds costs universities a fortune. Money that the higher education minister says could go towards funding. Indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Vandalism during student protests has cost universities and colleges about $1 billion over the past 5 years. That's what Parliament was told on Tuesday. Over the past 5 years, in terms of amounts of money lost due to destruction of especially university property, my sense is that possibly we have reached almost 1 billion rand. That's a huge amount of money that could have gone to making a huge impact on the higher education system. Higher Education, Science, and Innovation Minister Blade Nzimande said during a briefing to the MPs, of course. Blade is famously a communist and the head of the South African Communist Party for a long period of time. Yeah, well, he's right about that. I have to give him credit for that. And in disturbing news, if you recall the recent video of a cash-in-transit heist attempt, which is really a mobile phone-in-transit heist attempt, that took place in Hatfield near the Gateway McDonald's where the N4 and the Francis Bard converge, formerly Schumann, the avenue, those roads converge, and there's a McDonald's there, the Gateway, and then across the corner is the Southern Sun Hotel. This broad daylight automatic weapon shooting, this security person, Leo Prinsloo, calm, collected. He actually saw it developing and watched as they came up alongside him. He had his young protege next to him, gave him directions. Young protege, a little bit, dealing with it. It's his first time probably ever being shot at, but handled it quite well. And they actually, ran the cars off the road. Now he's received death threats because his identity was released. I was reticent to release the video at first, but it was already over Twitter, and that's why I did it. But I never mentioned his name, but it's been in the papers now for a few days. And he's now being protected because of this. I think Yusuf Abrunji owes him an apology and should get in touch with him and providing free security service for the gentleman. He's getting death threats because he saved the life of a black man and himself. Yeah. That's South Africa. That's the gangster country of South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. Leon Prinsloo, who foiled a heist in Pretoria under protective guard after death threats. Cash in transit driver Leo Prinsloo and his family have been placed under protective guard. The driver with nerves of steel received death threats after foiling an attempted cash in transit heist. Dion Kutsia, the managing director of Fortis Proactive Defense Solutions, where he works, told News 24 that he assigned a protective security detail following the media attention. Because of whoever is behind the organized crime, he's received death threats on his life, so we're just taking it seriously. So your life is worth nothing to these gangsters. And these gangsters work with impunity throughout South Africa. The African National Congress does nothing to stop the gangsterism taking place in this country. I warned people the day that I saw Brett Kebble assassinated in broad daylight in Sandton. If they can assassinate a billionaire who's that connected and that dirty with the ANC just to get rid of him, everybody's on the table. Remember, famously, the former wife of F.W. Clarke was raped and murdered in her home? How can the wife of a former head of state be raped and murdered? Only in a country like South Africa. Sad. Truly sad and pathetic, ladies and gentlemen. In Mozambique, the town of Palma, where the brutal, gruesome attacks took place by a supposedly Islamic-backed insurgency that claims affiliation to ISIS, but can prove no affiliation to ISIS. Nonetheless, there are these ghouls that are out there killing people. Palma remains traumatized weeks after the recent attacks in which expats were burned alive in a bar and they were shot at and many killed trying to escape a hotel as insurgents, a small number of insurgents, attacked Palma. Residents there are still traumatized and dealing with the after effects of it. This will be long term. Meanwhile, the Southern African Development Community is building or planning to build a approximately 3,000 soldier response force. And we'll see what happens. It'll rely heavily on Botswana and South Africa, most likely. We'll see if and when that actually goes in and what impact it has. And for those of you in Cape Town, in the Mother City, if you're not already wet, you will be soon. Brace yourself. Heavy winds and gale force winds and rain expected over the Western Cape. South African Weather Service said widespread showers, thunderstorms, and heavy winds are expected in parts of the Western Cape starting Wednesday evening. It is now nearly Wednesday evening in the Mother City. Areas likely to be impacted were Overberg, the Garden Route District, and parts of the Cape Winelands and the Cape Metropole. For the next few days, we're expecting a cut-off low, which is an upper air system that will result in adverse weather conditions over the Western Cape, with scattered to widespread showers and thunderstorms along the Western Cape from Wednesday and clearing by Friday. With this system, a significant amount of rainfall can be expected for Wednesday into Thursday over the southwestern and southern parts of the province. If only that rain had been available when the fire started a few weeks ago. That would have been awesome. Would have been really helpful. For news outside of Africa, let's take a look at what's happening here in the United States. Facebook's committee of, I don't know what to call them. I'll just say they're overlords, we'll say. That's without being insulting. But their committee of overlords has determined that Donald Trump will remain banned from Facebook. Yep, they will keep him off of Facebook. This report from CNN, Facebook Oversight Board upholds Donald Trump's suspension from the platform. Yep, blocking President Trump from using his platform. In a landmark move that affirmed the company's decision to issue a suspension after the 6 January Capitol riots. The board said it concluded that Trump's post, which praised the rioters, severely violated Facebook's policies and created an environment where serious risk of violence was possible. Well, they're just not very bright people to actually believe that. But that is their decision. It is their platform. Meanwhile, Donald Trump launches his own communications platform. Former President Donald Trump on Tuesday launched a new communications platform coming several months after he was suspended from Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms. The platform appears on Trump's personal website and includes social media-like posts from the former president that can be shared on Facebook and Twitter. It's not clear whether the website will be developed into a full-fledged site. Currently, it's not possible to create user accounts or to reply to his posts. Trump is the only poster. It's kind of, at this stage, just like Mike Lindell's Frank speech. Although Frank promised us accounts, Trump hasn't promised us anything. So Trump hasn't failed to come through. But if you're curious what that site looks like, it's from the desk of Donald J. Trump. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. That site is up. DonaldJTrump.com. There you go. Just look for it. And he's posted something about 10 o'clock this morning, and he put something on yesterday. So it is up. It is up since, well, it's been up since April. I guess this is a social media site. Look at that. And you can sign up for alerts if you want down here at the bottom. Just give me your information when there's a new message. Hopefully that will turn into a alternate media site for the rest of us and not just for the Trumpster. There you have it, folks. Restaurant owners across America are suffering immensely. I reported previously my personal experience going to two different Wendy's in two different states, and both of them were strapped for employees. Why? Either legitimate concerns over the pandemic, which is understandable. I'll accept people's concerns and not wanting to come back to work if they're worried about that. Although I think it's a bit overblown, but I mean, they're concerns, but there are measures, vaccinations, all someplace, but people very concerned about it. So I got it. So I don't want to work because of that. They don't want to be exposed to things. Fair enough. But the other reason is because the government's handing out welfare and it's paying people more than they make working in these entry-level jobs. Therefore, employers can't find workers. Government competing with the private sector by keeping people at home. As more and more states start easing pandemic restrictions, restaurants, large and small, are grappling with a widespread problem, hiring employees. owners and managers from New York, California, Washington, Chicago told the Epic Times, hiring woes have become a nightmare amid a litany of other challenges like indoor occupancy rules. They say that the federal unemployment bonuses handout during the pandemic incentivized people to stay home instead of working. Now restaurants are starting to the long, hard, and costly climb back to profitability. Lockdowns imposed of the country you go have since put 110,000 restaurants out of business. 110,000 restaurants have closed because of this. It's become so dire that one McDonald's location in Florida started paying $50 to anyone who would show up for a job interview. Other franchises like Taco Bell, which needs 5,000 new employees, are holding hiring events in parking lots. Now, let's be fair. It's always been difficult to get people to work in the restaurant industry. But the reality here is that this government competition with the private sector is damaging our workplace. And what more important, more concerning for the long term, is the devaluing of labor. The importance, the dignity of working and earning a living and making your way in the world is being undermined by this nanny state BS from Washington, D.C. Needs to stop. Needs to stop yesterday. And the United Nations is angry with Australian Prime Minister Morrison over his threats to imprison, to fine Australian citizens who seek to return to their home who were in India trying to flee. He's essentially deemed that Australians must suffer and remain in India and remain at risk rather than come home. Yep, UN raises serious human rights concerns over Australia's India travel ban. Nobody's going to be jailed at this time, says Deputy Prime Minister McCormick. Really? Really? New South Wales arrested a pregnant mother on her way for an ultrasound because she posted on Facebook. Why is New South Wales police watching a woman's Facebook post over a constitutionally allowed demonstration? She encouraged people to go. And she's such a threat, she was arrested. A four-month pregnant woman on her way for an ultrasound. Have you forgotten about that? No one's going to be arrested. These tyrannical, authoritarian jackasses need to leave government the world over. They are a threat to humanity. A threat to humanity. People like Morrison. UN human rights officials have raised serious concerns about the Morrison government's ban on Australians returning from India and the severe penalties attached to the breaches. We have serious concerns about whether the biosecurity determination and the severe penalties which can be imposed for its breach meets Australia's human rights obligations, a spokesman for the office said early on Wednesday. In particular, Article 12 of the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights, which is binding on Australia, provides that no one shall be arbitrarily deprived of the right to enter his own country. Aha! And there you go. Exactly what I said. No one shall be deprived of the right to enter their country. I told you that first here on Daba Africa News, telling you that this is a violation of international norms and standards and international law. And Morrison has no solid ground to stand on. Now the world is rising up against him, and thankfully the UN is actually doing something positive for once. If you're a citizen of a nation, that nation can't prevent you from entering the country. That's insane. They basically make you stateless. And that's not acceptable. We still have a system based on 1648 Peace of Westphalia. The modern nation state came about as a result of the Peace of Westphalia in 1648. And state sovereignty, despite social media, despite telecommunications, despite satellite television, despite non-government organizations, political movements, yada, 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 state sovereignty is still primary. States still have primacy. You cannot ban your citizens from returning. Now, notice the UN did criticize Trump a year ago when he banned flights from China, because he didn't ban flights from China. He banned non-US citizens from flying here from China, which was a good move. Unfortunately, the selfish, self-absorbed little pricks who landed, some of them had the virus, and instead of staying quarantined like they were asked to do, they ran off and spread all over the country. They should have been quarantined as if they were in a leper island, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, so there you have it, folks. And the last story I want to talk about here is Myanmar has now banned satellite television. When you are afraid of what someone has to say, you ban them. If you are not afraid of what someone has to say and your ideas can compete, then you allow people to have speech. You allow people to talk. Reasonable people, not buffoons. So Myanmar's military has banned satellite television after charging Japanese journalists with fake news. Now it's the ban on satellite television just saying outside broadcasts threaten national security as the journalists who seized power in a February coup charged the Japanese journalists with spreading false news. Satellite television is no longer legal. Whoever violates the television and video law, especially those using satellite dish, shall be punished with 1 year imprisonment and a 500,000 kyat or $320 fine. 1 year in prison. Illegal media outlets are broadcasting news that undermines national security, the rule of law, and public order, encouraging those who commit treason. The generals, led by Army Chief Ming Aung Hlaing, arrested elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi and members of the government on February 1st. Unbelievable. Mobile data has been cut in Myanmar for 50 days, and online platforms remain heavily restricted, limiting press freedom, a critical moment in the country's future. And where is the United Nations? Where is the Manchurian cadaver? instead of Blinken being in London talking to Naledi Pandor about issues that South Africa has no influence over in Tigray or Mozambique, possibly, but not really, why isn't Blinken dealing with Myanmar? That should be the top of the charts these days. Anyway, folks, there you have it. That's the abbreviated news of the day, Indaba Africa News of the Day, today, May 5th, 2021. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you here next time on Indaba African News of the Day.